You're listening to GNET Radio.
And welcome to episode 23 of Classic Leap. This is the only place in the world that you can hear Scott and Tony in the same place talking about video games. So I'm Tony, here with my friend Scott. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing really good, man. I'm a little hoarse this week. My beloved Irish were getting completely hosed. And when I am at the football game, I seem to think that my voice can be heard above anyone else's. Mm-hmm. And I almost booed myself out of a voice, so I'm just lucky that I'm able to even record an episode this week.
Everyone laughs at you, though, because you're chanting, Rudy, Rudy, and they're going, what is this guy doing?
Not there, man. There's 80,000 people trying to join in, like, yeah, that's Rudy.
Do you know Joe Montana, by the way? Side note, Joe Montana was quarterback when Rudiger played there at Notre Dame.
You really think that I don't know that? And yes, I know the recent comments.
You've heard the recent comments. I'm just saying they never chanted Rudy.
They never chanted Rudy. You know how I know that before Joe Montana came out and said it? My father was there at that game.
Oh, okay.
He's like, I was at that game. No one in the crowd was chanting anyone's name. It was a little dull, though, for Hollywood, but, you know, it
inspired me.
He was carried off the field.
Mm-hmm.
It was a joke. They were making fun of him, it appears to be, but he was carried off. So, whatever. If Hollywood wants to spin it the way they did, good for them.
That's right. He's still Samwise Gamgee. So, that's all that matters.
Sean Astin. Love you, buddy.
All right. Anyways, back to video games, which is why we exist.
This is why we try to do this.
talking about Rudy. But anyways, we're back, and we have a couple fan mail submissions this week. The first one is from our good friend, The Gooch.
Not The Gooch. It's The Douchebag and Gooch.
I know, but everyone's saying The at the beginning of things now.
Well, we're going to stop that today. This is a letter from Gooch.
Okay, this is a letter from Gooch. Okay, anyways, Gooch is our good friend along with The Douchebag, and they wrote in to talk, or I'm sorry, just Gooch wrote in, not The Gooch, but Gooch wrote in to talk to us about having a glass of Explosionade. And so he writes in and says, hey guys, I know you enjoy the Xbox Live arcade indie scene, and Scott seemed to really enjoy Shoot One Up. I have to recommend another indie game, Explosionade, which is also from Shoot One Up developer and Mommy's Best Games VP Nathan Fouts. Explosionade is hard to describe, but it involves explosions, a mech, grenades, explosions, monsters, destructible environments, and explosions. The game is only 80 points and has a trial if you want to try before you buy. I really enjoy this game, and for only a dollar, I can't recommend it enough. Looking forward to episode 23. You guys rock. Gooch. And I wrote back almost within 5 minutes and said, dude, this is awesome. I can't wait to download it tonight. And then I ended up falling asleep at 9 o'clock. So, Gooch, I'm sorry. I'm yet to download Explosionade, but Scott has downloaded it. He's partially redeemed the Classic League duo. So, Scott, what do you think of Explosionade?
Man, I like it a lot. You gotta love when you have a recommendation to spend a dollar and are able to get this much fun out of a game. The fact that it's from the same developers as Shoot One Up is what caught my eye. I was sold. I didn't do the trial version. I clearly just bought it. It was only a buck. But man, they I don't know what they do over at Mommy's Best, but visually, they just have it down. They're able to get the most gorgeous 2D color palette available to and really take full advantage of it. It's really, really good. And basically it's a puzzle game mixed with a platformer.
Okay.
And it's definitely Metroid inspired. It almost looks like you're Samus.
Okay.
And you are in one stage is about one full screen.
Okay.
So it's not a side scroller or anything like that. And with the items that are available to you, you have to blow up walls, kill enemies, and eventually get to a goal at the end of this room that's sort of a platforming maze type of a room. And okay. The thing that they do is they really take full advantage of all the buttons on the control pad, similar to how they did that with Shoot One Up. They like the shooting mechanic is probably the best example where you can hit X to shoot, or maybe it's A. I think it's X. You hit X to shoot, and it's like a typical platformer, and so you use the joystick or the D-pad to walk in whatever direction you want and shoot any enemies. But also, you are able to use the right joystick or analog stick to shoot any direction that you want without having to pull a trigger button.
Okay.
So what that allows you to do is actually lock your mech or whatever the heck you are in place and use the right analog stick to fire all around the screen so you can stay locked and shoot in way more than the normal 8 directions. You can actually, it's a 1-to-1 ratio pretty much. So if you move your thumb just a little bit, the gun moves that much. So it gives you the full 360 in motion.
Nice.
Which is something I haven't seen pulled off this well before.
Yeah.
And you can really tell because if you do it slow, you can get like a full, almost curtain of bullets to go through in one full stream. And there's a shield that replenishes, but the shield allows you to stay suspended in air or bounce off walls or avoid enemy hits. So what that also really lets you take advantage of is the fact that you have a jetpack. That's another mechanic in the game, and the jetpack actually allows you to get up to higher platforms. And if you time a jetpack boost with your shield, the shield just kind of exemplifies what you're already doing, so you end up shooting even higher and faster through the screen, whereas you can actually run out of juice, like, and go about halfway up the screen. And they have a really neat zoom feature. It's a one-button zoom feature that allows you to zoom in very close and focus on the enemies at hand, or zoom out to see how the stage is laid out and where you need to go through. So,
that's awesome.
And for a dollar, I mean, there's just a lot of detail to it. And
yeah,
I'm already at stage 25 or 26. It's not an overly hard game, but it's hard enough to make it enjoyable. I've died a couple times, but there's already 26 levels in it. So that's a lot for a dollar, you know?
Yeah, that's one of the clear advantages the Xbox Live Arcade has, is just allowing like open source developers to just create their own games. I mean, I think it's not only going to provide good game ideas for the people who have millions to waste on, you know, gaming, but man, it's so awesome just to be able to jump on there and buy a game for a dollar. And I know you've recommended several to me that I've enjoyed, and I just think that's really awesome. So thank you for buying it and for checking it out, and thanks to Gooch for the recommendation.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I definitely enjoyed it, and I need to try to figure out a way to stay more in tune with the Xbox Live Arcade. I wish that they had, and maybe there is one, like a Twitter feed that they have where they have like games of the week or whatever. I don't think that the dashboard on Xbox does a good enough job of showing like the new titles. I wish there was someone out there that once a week would give, like, this is the game of the week that you have to buy. And I trust the star rankings to a point, but not completely, because that orange guy is a game I never would have purchased if it wasn't – if I went solely on the 3 out of 5 star ranking or whatever.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know what people's problem is, because that game is sweet.
Yeah.
So I wish that there was someone out there blogging a little bit about, like, the best indie games to buy. I would love to be that person, but I don't want to spend the money, and I don't want to put any more time into trying to get video game content out there. The podcast is enough, and so doing this, I feel like if I got involved in anything other than this, I would not be playing video games anymore. I need to focus on talking about them or reviewing them or whatever. Sure. So.
Well, if any of our listeners know of a great site you can go to get the latest and greatest Xbox Live Arcade updates, and I guess I just haven't looked, so send it in. We'd love to hear about it. So.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't want to have to rely on the Xbox Marketplace website. You don't want to go from the manufacturer, the person selling.
They're trying to get money. Yeah, they're trying to get the money.
Yeah,
they're like, pretty colors, buy us.
You never asked the salesman if you should buy it or not.
That's right. It's always the perfect fit for you. So.
So on to the next email that we have here. It's from our friend Juan, who's written in a couple times. Juan does an incredible job of packing a lot of punch in a few words. He wrote a very short email that was just awesome. He has a real quick question for us. He heard us talking about Enslaved, and the scores were between 8 and 8.5. And he says, why do you guys think that a lot of people feel that 8 out of 10 is a mediocre game when it's a rating scale of 1 to 10 and not 7 to 10? Take it easy, guys. Fantastic question.
Yeah.
Do you want to tackle this one first?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You know, I'm one that feels strongly about this, and I've learned there's a couple sites you can go to really trust their reviews. And, you know, I'm trying to get the Classic League game reviews off the ground. And one of the goals I have with that, and the reason I'm taking time with that, is I really want to tailor a review to what I think people are looking for, you know? And I think a lot of the reviews get kind of so cliche, like, this is the gameplay, these are the controls, you know? Things that are sort of, you know, pretty important to the game, but at the same time, sometimes I think people just want to see the game in action and just talk about it a little bit, and then, you know, and so, anyways, back to why people think that an 8 out of 10 is a mediocre game. I think it's just what people have come to expect. I think people have very high expectations of games, and like Scott was talking about with the orange guy, people buy that. They don't appreciate the retro feel. They don't appreciate the platforming it provides, the, you know, the basic fun that just a couple sprites, you know, and a gun. You got to have a gun, you know, but whatever that provides, like, they don't appreciate that. They have high expectations. And, you know, just like I think of games like Gears of War. I mean, I was just in awe of Gears of War the first time I played it. Like, oh my gosh, you know. And then Gears of War 2 came out, and people, I mean, I feel bad for it sometimes for those big game designers, because people want so much more packed in to the next round, you know. And for me, a perspective of this, it just comes down to price. Like, Enslaved is a game, it looks fun, I want to play it. I didn't sound overly enthused about it last week because of the 8 to 8.5 ratings. And the reason is because I don't have $60 laying around just to go buy every game that comes out to try. There's tons and tons of games. I would say the majority of good games fall into that category, between 7.5 to 8.5. Those games to me deserve to be played. I want to play them, but I'm going to wait till the price goes down. And I think, like, when you get a game like a Halo or a Gears or Metal Gear Solid that gets an over 9 to a 9.5, then in my book that says, okay, this is a game I have to play right now. I want to go out. I want to buy it the first day it comes out. I want to play it. Like, it's hot. It looks amazing. It's, you know, it looks like it has the whole package. Whereas Enslaved, you know, I read all the reviews, and they said, yeah, it's got a couple of glitches here, it looks really good here, these are the strengths, we're going to give it like an 8. And I'm like, okay, that sounds great. It's just not a must-have right away for me. So in my mind, I know the reality, one, is that it's not a mediocre game. It's above average for sure, but it's not something that I have to rush out and play that weekend, if that makes sense. And I mean, part of that's just my perspective of not having a ton of extra money or time to put in every single game. But, you know, that's probably a game I'll get around Christmas time when it's dropped in price a little bit and I can get it used. So
yeah, I guess my thought was maybe it might be a combination of things, and I haven't been following game reviews for very long at all, so this is all new to me, so I'm going to be doing a little bit of speculating here, so let me know if I'm way off base. But it seems to me like most game reviewers will give a game a 6 or a 7 unless they absolutely hate it. So it feels like they're reserving anything under a 6 to just give an opportunity to gauge its you know, crappiness. And
yeah.
And so something at an 8 is something that they think is fair. You know, an 8 is a recommendation, and a 9 or over is awesome. And I think that maybe the reason that an 8 might be considered more of a mediocre game is because I think when we look at the way things are rated, other media, like movies, for example, or restaurants, even, that they seem to be on a 3, 4, or 5-star scale, or a 3 out of 5 traditionally. And so I think that that's maybe something that people are used to. So whereas a 2 out of 3 doesn't give you the warm, fuzzy feeling, but that's more of a 6 or a 7 out of 10. And, you know, so maybe a 3 out of 5 on a 5-point scale is 7, but not quite an 8. And I think that when you have the 3 out of 5 and a 2 out of 3 or a 3 out of 4, it's those are all star ratings that we would consider pretty good, but not great. And when you break it into a 10-point scale, that's the way those numbers tend to fall.
Yeah.
And I think because most people are used to that, maybe even on a subconscious level, what you do is revert back to comparing your out of 10 score to an out of 5 score or an out of 3 score to see if it actually makes sense. So, yeah, good question there, Juan. I almost forgot. Just to kind of go back to the scale that you were talking about at the beginning, where 8 might be recommended and 9 is just awesome. I remember a couple months ago, a rapper I like, Aesop Rock, every now and again he tweets about video games he's playing. And one of his tweets was, "I'm never playing a game that's rated lower than an 8 ever again." Because he was really excited about, like, maybe an Assassin's Creed game for 360 or something like that, and it was rated 7.5. And he's like, "No more, not doing that." So that's definitely the perception that mediocre is anything less than an 8, or even an 8 itself could be mediocre. So
yeah.
Yeah, but that's all I have about the question. Thanks again, Juan, man. That was a good one.
For sure. We really appreciate it. And I think it's time now to jump into the retro portion with Scott. So what do you have for us this week?
Well, huge news on the retro front for someone like myself. I have talked about this game before in other episodes, and I'm going to bring it up again now. I won't talk about it too much because I saw our good buddies, the Retro League, have it posted in their show notes, and they just released a new episode today. So go to the Retro League to hear all about X-Men Arcade being released on Xbox Live.
Awesome.
Did you see that is coming out?
Well, yeah, because I was going to talk about it.
Oh, were you?
Thanks, jerk.
we'll let you elaborate, because...
What else are you going to talk about? Maybe I should...
I don't know. Let me see your notes. Let me see your notes. the one thing that I want to say about it is I couldn't be happier that we bought those fight sticks, because...
Oh, I know. It's going to be great.
And this is, I don't care if it's $30. I'm buying it the first day that I can download it.
And I'm buying it the first hour it comes out.
Well, no, aren't you awesome?
That's right. I'm better than you. Our band is breaking up. So, anyways, yeah, dude, it's online multiplayer right here.
No, I haven't read really much about it.
Oh, gosh, dude. Online multiplayer up to 6 people.
Oh, that's insane.
Co-op up to 4 on the same console, I believe.
Okay.
Online multiplayer up to 6, and you can actually drop into someone else's multiplayer game. So if you just want to search for a random game, you can just drop right into someone's game and start playing with them online.
That would be sweet. If a couple of us are playing and someone else signs on, they could just hop right in.
I loved that game when I was a kid, man. Oh.
Just the memories. I don't know any gamers that are in their late 20s or early 30s that don't have a very vivid memory of wasting money just trying to get farther and farther. I don't know how they did it. It was such an addictive, game.
Yeah.
I didn't care. I'd spent $7 or $8 as a little kid. Even then, I knew, like, man, that's a lot of money.
Oh yeah.
You have to save up a wall for $7 or $8.
Mom's gonna be pissed when she finds out I took this out of her purse. Oh,
really? And I wouldn't. I wouldn't even think twice about it.
I know.
I throw stuff in. I throw quarters in until I was out of it. Our local bowling alley, I remember, had that game, and it was just like, I remember being there for a birthday party and just wanting to play X-Men and not even really do the bowling with all the other kids.
I love the original game, and I hope they stay true to it, because it was so cultural. Like, even Professor Xavier had a mullet. I'm just kidding.
I was like, what?
No, dude, I'm playing with you.
All right.
Yeah. No, I'm really pumped about X-Men. It's gonna be great.
I don't know if it was a screenshot of the game or if it was just a screenshot from MAME or whatever, but there was a quick Google search. I just wanted to see if I could report a release date, and what I saw, it just said later this year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fall. Yeah, at some point fall.
It is the fall.
And so, yeah, it is. I want it now. No, it does look really good. It's going to be. Have you heard anything else about it?
No, just the screenshot that I saw when I was trying to look up information. It looked. They showed a screenshot of the real game. So I don't think it's going to be a Turtles in Time reshelled. It should be a real, just direct port of it. So okay. I haven't looked up any other information. I'm obviously going to talk about it when I actually download it to let people know what I think. But it's just going to be so cool in HD to be able to just play with that arcade stick. It'll be so awesome.
I love the arcade stick. It's the best purchase I've made.
Very cool stuff. And
iPad, but
it's not a console, man. I'm just kidding. So anyways, another thing I wanted to report on is there's a particular new follower of Classic Elite on Twitter.
Okay.
And his Twitter name was Nintendo_legend.
Yeah, seen that.
And this guy is putting out a blog that is going to be a review site for NES games. And you would think to yourself, well, there's a lot of blogs out there that have video game reviews. There's a lot of YouTube stuff about it. And this guy actually figured out a way to differentiate himself a little bit. And he has in his mission statement that he wants to play and write a review for every American-released NES video game.
That's amazing.
And right now, he appears to be on 32, 33 as we're recording this.
Fester's Quest. It's right in front of me. Fester's Quest, number
32. 32, there you go. Mm-hmm. And he gives out a 4-star ranking, and he gives the Mario Invincible Star as the logo that he uses. But again, that goes back to what we had talked about with Juan's email. He's basing it on a 4-point scale. And that could easily correlate to a 10-point scale. So anyways, yes, he's doing reviews. It doesn't matter if it's good or it's a bad game. And the coolest part about the site is there's an alphabetical listing of every North American release. So you can actually use it to keep track. And it looks like anything highlighted in blue over on the site, it's NintendoLegend.com, will be a link to the review. So what you'll be able to do is just do a quick scroll through. It's black text if there's no review, and there's blue text if there is. And it's really, really cool. And it doesn't look like he's doing it alphabetically. There was a tweet.
Oh, yeah.
And we started following him because he put out a tweet that was like, okay, time to review some games that are notoriously bad or something like that. And so what he did was, as you see, Fester's Quest popped up, and there's a lot of people out there that are familiar with Fester's Quest because of the Angry Video Game Nerd, but there's also a lot of people that had Fester's Quest and were just frustrated with the game anyways. Now, the music from what I saw on Fester's Quest is actually pretty sweet, and it didn't look as bad as some reviews have given it, but I myself have never played it, so I really can't speak on it too much. But it's a really cool idea, and I think that that's a very unique thing that he's doing, and he's really focusing on trying to give a quality review, and that's something that is missing in a lot of video game reviews, especially retro games. And the fact that it's very organized and very neat, it's got a nice clean logo, it's a very clean blog format. I don't know if it's a WordPress page, but it looks like my little brother's got a really good video game or a really good music blog. And it's laid out in a very similar manner to that. And he uses WordPress. So I don't know if it's a WordPress page or whatnot. But
looks like it.
Yeah, but it's very easy to use. And if you also see on there, Tony, there's a search feature. So if you just want to know if he's done a review on it, and by the time he gets into the 1 and 200s, it'll be pretty cool to be able to see if that game that you're looking for has been reviewed, or to see if it's even a North American release. So big ups to you, man. That's a very, very cool thing that you're trying to do, and I would recommend any of our followers or our listeners to also follow Nintendo Legend. because it's just kind of cool to read about retro video games. It's a really good way to take a recommendation that someone gives you on a game you should try out and see what he thinks too. And if you get, you know, two positive suggestions, maybe you should give it a shot. Or if you think I'm a complete buffoon and he gives it a good review, that's a game that I've trashed that he likes, maybe you might want to give it a try, because at least you're getting some vote of confidence somewhere to try a game out. So it's a website that I would think to myself, man, wouldn't that be cool, but would never, ever have the motivation to be able to pull that off.
Yeah, that's – yeah. Do you know his name? Have you met him yet? Or?
No, we haven't really interacted. I do know his name. His first name is Eric. It's like Berkeley or something was his last name. He put it on his website.
Okay.
If you go to the NintendoLegend.com and look at the About section, he talks a little bit about himself there. And from what I can gather, it looks like he's done other reviews, and he's linking some of the reviews that he's done for other sites.
Cool.
And I think he's just going to kind of roll with it now. So,
I just sent him a message on Twitter, see if we could get him on the show. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that would be really cool to see what kind of stuff and timelines and whatnot he has planned. So that would be awesome. And lastly, there's a game that I've been playing recently from one of the best franchises of all time. And it's my first foray into a non-traditional Mega Man game.
Okay.
I have been trying to play on the Game Boy Color Mega Man Extreme.
Nice.
I decided to try to give the game a shot because Critical Failure mentioned that Hemrock from the Retro League sent him a copy of it with a Game Boy camera or something. I don't know. He sent him something and also included a copy of Mega Man Extreme. So okay. I thought, you know, why not give it a shot? So I figured out a way that I could play that game and have actually really enjoyed it. It's got some nuances that are a little strange if you're a traditional Mega Man fan. One of them is that the colors are really cool and the animation is a lot more detailed than what I'm used to in 8-bit Mega Man. And the music is still very good, of course, but the jumps are a little different and not really what you're used to. It still feels like a Mega Man game, though, which is really impressive.
Huh.
And when you start the game, there's a little too much scrolling and text. Like, man, that it's an 8-bit, or it's a, in my opinion, it's an 8-bit game. I think it's a little more advanced than that. But, you know, it's an old-school platformer. Like, I don't care about the story. I just want the levels to be challenging and the bosses to be fun. And once you get through all the text, they do give you, like, a starter level, which is, I think, almost something that you'll talk about a little bit later in the episode. There's a starter level, and once you get through that, then you can go in to select one of four bosses. And then I assume you go into a Dr. Wily stage. I struggled, man. I tried them all a little bit. I stunk. I couldn't get through any of the boss levels. So it's still very challenging, which is typical of a Mega Man game.
Yeah.
But even though the sprites look different and the jump mechanic is a little different, and oh, and he wall jumps in this game, it still feels like Mega Man. I don't know how they did it, but Capcom is a really, really smart company. And back in the 90s and early 2000s, was that when Game Boy Color came out? Or was that already when Advance was out?
I would say Advance was probably out then. Because I was like 10 when the original Game Boy came out, so that would have been 90. So, yeah, I would say Advance would have been out in the...
So this is probably a game that came out in the late 90s, maybe?
Yeah, it was probably during the time of the Game Boy Pocket, Game Boy Color Pocket, whatever thing they did. So
yeah, whatever that is. But if you have a Game Boy Color, or if you have figured out a way to play Game Boy Color games, check it out. It's pretty darn cool. Oh, and there's a save feature that like you can like save your progress and it tells you how far along you are, which is very different from normal Mega Man games where you have to go through the password system.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that you're going to be able to save your E-Tanks. If there are E-Tanks, I haven't found any, but it's Mega Man. There's got to be E-Tanks. And I know that in some, like Mega Man 2, the password system doesn't let you carry over your E-Tanks. Whereas in Mega Man 3, I was told, even though I've never played that game, I was told that you actually are able to carry over your E-Tanks with the password that you get. So I recommend Mega Man Extreme for any retro gamers that are also Mega Man fans, but want something that looks and plays a little different.
I have to try to find a card of that. I was the Super Nintendo that I bought this summer at a garage sale. It came with a Super Game Boy cartridge. I don't know if you remember that or not, but
yes,
it was that giant Super Nintendo cartridge that you could actually slide Game Boy and Game Boy Color games into. Dude, it's awesome. I actually pulled out the other day because my like 4-year-old son wanted to play a game, and he loves Mario, and I got Super Mario Land 2.
Oh,
Six gold coins, yeah, and I put that in, and he loves it, like, and it's so great, and it's on the big screen, like, so it's really cool, but yeah, it's neat. That was a great idea, that Game Boy cartridge cart.
You know what else that Game Boy cartridge does? It takes a lot of older Game Boy games, like the original ones, and adds a little bit of a color palette to it.
That's what this one does, yeah.
So, oh yeah, duh, because the six golden coins came out on the gray brick, so yeah, you would be able to see the improvement there. I loved Six Golden Coins when I was a kid.
Yeah.
My parents got that for me before a road trip. I forget, we were going somewhere that was like a really long car trip, and I was so hooked. I've went back and I've played that game again. It's really difficult. It must have been a really long car ride because I beat it. Like, I finally beat that game, and it is very challenging.
Awesome.
So very cool. Your son.
Back memories.
Your son is very fortunate to be able to be playing that on a big screen.
It's cool. It's good stuff. So, is that all you have for the retro portion this week?
I am done.
Awesome. Well, let's jump into the modern portion, and the first thing I want to talk about, huge, huge, huge week for modern gaming, and the first game is really a mix of modern and retro, and it's Sonic the Hedgehog 4 Episode 1, which I believe by the time this podcast is published will be out on the 360, PS3, and Wii, is that correct?
Yeah, dude, I'm freaking giddy. Like, I mean,
we're recording on Monday, so it's tomorrow, I'm assuming?
I think Wii came out today, which is October 11th, and I think the 12th or the 13th is when it comes out on PSN and 360. And dude,
last week it came out on the iPad, an iPod Touch, and it's the same exact version. I mean, different control scheme, obviously, but same exact levels and everything as the one that's being released on the major consoles. And dude, I love it. Like, I couldn't wait. I was thinking, I'll just wait. I actually talked to you that day at work, and I was like, I'm gonna get it for 360. And then later that day I was like, downloading it for iPad right now. So, just kind of wait. I love Sonic the Hedgehog, and I wish I could get a hold of it, but one of my friends had the original Sonic for Sega Genesis when it first came out, and he did like this video documentary of me playing the game to beat it.
Really?
It was like, that was just something he wanted to do. I was like, this is great. I have no clue what happened. It's probably like on some VHS tape in the bottom of a dumpster landfill pile somewhere. But yeah, so we had this video documentary of me playing Sonic the Hedgehog.
That's see really how cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. So, but dude, Sonic 4, it's amazing. They've managed to keep the entire retro feel of the game. It feels like you're playing Sonic the Hedgehog 1 or 2, but at the same time, they've added elements that are just, they just makes the series perfect. Like, I love it. I totally give this game 9 out of 10 on the iPad, you know? So, it's after beat the first level, you have access to every level in the game besides the boss levels. And so you can play, there's 4 zones in episode 1, and as we know, it's episodic content, so it's going to be released over the next few months, more episodes, which I think is genius because it gives us basically a long time to play. I mean, I've been playing it several hours and, you know, still have a little bit more to go. Now, granted, I probably could have beat it by now, but I'm trying to discover, you know, all the secrets of the levels and all that stuff. It's just a lot of fun. You can bounce around to different zones if you get tired. So that's something that's different, is you don't have to play through it, you know, in perfect order. There's also a score and time attack mode, which is really fun. And then some of the levels have like these unique challenges to get through. So it's not like you're just trying to get to the end like you would in one of the original Sonic games, but they'll say like, in this level, get 100,000 points, and then you just beat it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that they are, I'm assuming that they will, it'd be stupid not to, that I'll be able to get some achievements by focusing on these. And that's just going to add so much replay.
Well, it'll have achievements because it's an official Xbox Live Arcade game, and the only ones that don't have achievements are like the shoot one up and stuff like that, mm-hmm. like the game. So,
okay.
Yeah, it'll have it limits out, I think, at 250 points per achievement, and that's why I like the episodic content too, because there's potential to still get a 1,000 gamer score points from Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah,
I don't know what they have in mind, but it's cool. But yeah, it's a great game. So great challenges, good creativity in the levels, and what every Sonic fan's been wanting for a long time is save points. So I'm pretty positive those will be in the console games. When you pull it up on the iPad, it's pretty neat. It says, would you like to start from your last star post? You know, like the checkpoint. And I'm like, yes. So I would. But it's really good, and I really enjoy that part. And it just loads right to that star post, and I can start picking up where I left off, you know?
Well, and that's what I meant. And that's what I meant when I said very similar to something you're going to talk about later when I was talking about Mega Man Extreme. When you go through the first level of Sonic, like you said, you can play any of the levels available, and you let me play it a little bit because we started recording pretty much right when I got over here, but I was like, dude, you gotta let me see Sonic the Hedgehog. And from what I can tell, man, it's just it's gonna make it harder for me to actually wait, because this is like the exact thing that I've been waiting for since Sonic and Knuckles, and I love Sonic and Knuckles. And some of the game features, man, I just can't wait to talk about in next episode everything that I think about Sonic 4. And
I'll probably get it for Xbox 2 for the achievements, but it's just fun. So it's a really good game. The targeting system is something that's really neat too.
And there's a double jump feature that benefits Sonic and can be used clearly as an attack. It's awesome. They did. Yeah. How did they add stuff to make it?
I don't know. They did. I mean, they've had 30 years to think about it.
So. I know, but usually, like, when...
obviously didn't spend all that talent developing the other Sonic games.
That's true. But usually when they add stuff, when they go back and then add stuff, they just don't get it quite right.
It felt right, though. I mean, you played it for a few minutes. It feels good. I know you don't like the iPad control scheme, but it feels pretty good, so...
That just sounds dirty.
Oh yeah, it does. Anyways, I feel dirty every time I touch it, but I like it.
I'm debating about that whole section right now. I'm kidding.
Sonic 4. If you don't download it, then you're either broke or you don't like video games. And if you're broke, write me, and well, I can't help you, but figure out a way to get $10 and buy the game.
They must be a masochist if they're broke and can't play video games and listen to us.
Then we're going, why are you listening? So, anyways, yeah, check out Sonic 4. The other game I wanted to talk about is Castlevania Lords of Shadow. I'm an okay Castlevania fan. I don't really get into necessarily the deep, dark, evil, kind of vampire-type-driven story games. But I did check out some reviews of it, and I haven't played it yet. I'm kind of waiting just in deciding if I want to play it or if I will down the road. From what I've read about the reviews and what – I mean, I read a lot and I followed this game because it's like the first 3D Castlevania released in a while. And they've had a lot of success bringing the series back to 2D. Mm-hmm. And kind of different designer, different creator. From what I hear, they didn't – it just doesn't fit into the Castlevania canon, which is a big no-no when you're talking about a game like Castlevania. You know, it's like playing Zelda and not getting the Triforce, or, you know, playing Mario and there's no princess. You know, it's just kind of like, I don't know all the details of that, but I just know that, like, the hardcore Castlevania fans, they're going to be pissed, you know, if it doesn't fit into the story. So it'll be interesting to see as time goes on, since that game was just released, how people accept it into the series. The other thing is the problem with making a 3D action platformer is that you're going to have to copy off the people who are amazing at it, you know? Yeah. Uncharted.
Assassin's Creed.
Metal Gear Solid. God of War. You're going to have to pull from those things. And obviously God of War was the one they pulled through the most. It looks like a beautiful, beautiful game. I've watched a ton of videos on it. It looks like a really pretty game. Awesome game. They say there are parts where there's a lot of slowdown. And when there's too much going on the screen, and then
during like finishing moves, there was an IGN review thing that I watched.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you watched it too. It said that during like a fatal move or something, right?
Yeah, that happens almost every time. Mm-hmm. That is, yeah, so, you know, if you're a hardcore Castlevania fan, you're going to want to question whether or not to play through this one. You know, check it out. I'm interested to see what our fans think about it. I'm sure that it's a good game. I'm sure it's a fun game. But, you know, they kind of put themselves in a box to try to top God of War, which is nearly impossible. Whether or not you like God of War a lot, it's just nearly impossible to trump the kings of that have the media's attention, you know,
mm-hmm.
like that. So I'm interested to see what some of our fans hear about Castlevania. So
now, I've never played God of War. So, but I've wanted to. I bet if I would play this Castlevania game, and I've never really played through one before, I bet from what I saw and graphics just like really impressed me right now, I bet I would probably really like this game a lot. It looks very similar. Did you ever play on the PlayStation 2 Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers? It's just a hack and slash game.
Yeah.
That's all this looks like.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that stuff. I just.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fun. I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure people are going to enjoy it, you know. So.
It looks like some hardcore people might be a little disappointed, though.
Yeah, but they're always a little disappointed.
It's true, man. Some people have some crazy expectations on video games.
I know. It's nuts. Another big announcement this week, and it's just crazy to me what is happening right now with the transition from cable to arcade systems and console systems, like transferring to the TV and like media streaming and all that stuff that's going on right now. Like, and the Xbox 360 has just blown me away over the years. I mean, I remember 3 or 4 years ago when you could hook up a media streaming PC to it, and it was like pull up like Windows Media Player and watch like this live TV beta thing they had, you know, and play your, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. You know, so I went out and got a computer with Windows Vista because I had to do it, you know, and then I go over to my friend's house and he's like, check out Netflix. It just came out for 360. And I was like, holy cow, Netflix is awesome. I got to get it. Yeah. You know, and that, and now AT&T, I mean, first of all, we know Kinect is coming. And we know, you know, Sony has the move out. And there's all kinds of interesting things with accessories and add-ons and how that's all going to pan out. But the Xbox is releasing a brand new dashboard in 3 weeks to go along with Kinect, and it's also going to have the Hulu Plus feature, which I think PS3 already has.
Mm-hmm.
It's also going to have the free ESPN, which is going to be awesome. I mean, you and I are both really going to enjoy that. My cable contract is up in November, and my wife and I are completely canceling cable. Completely. Like, I mean, we have ABC News on the our ABC shows on the iPad. We have Hulu Plus, which covers NBC shows on the 360. We'll have ESPN, even like Big Ten Network, which we watch a lot of football on there. Like, you can actually pay for live streaming of the games now. We just don't need cable anymore, and we're paying a lot less than we were for our cable package, you know? So this week, the big announcement is that AT&T UVerse, which is a large-scale cable provider. I think you have AT&T, right?
Yeah, I have UVerse right now.
It's
fantastic.
AT&T UVerse, a large competitor in the cable world, they just announced that they're going to use the Xbox 360 on October 15th, starting as a receiver for cable. So you're not going to have to pay receiver rental fees. You're not going to have to pay DVR rental fees. I'm assuming that eventually, if they don't start it right away, you'll be able to use the 360 as a DVR. I mean,
that's incredible.
I mean, it's just interesting to see, like, everything's going to be internet service providers, and there's not going to be any hardcore hardwire cable in the next couple of years, it seems like. You know, it's just amazing to see all that stuff. So what do you think about UVerse? I mean, are you going to switch, or?
Well, I don't know. I'm going, since I'm a current AT&T UVerse customer, I am going to be calling AT&T when this comes out and seeing if I can trade in my old box or see kind of what's going on. If I can save money, then I will certainly use it, or to see if there's any way that I could get a little more out of my Xbox. Like, maybe through the Xbox I'll be able to access my DVR.
Yeah.
Where my Xbox is just part of the network, because you can access in our bedroom we have a cable box, so we can actually access the downstairs DVR from the cable box and set recordings and things like that. So if you can do that from the Xbox as well, that's just It's an extra box that you don't have to pay for, that's not going to be rented. That's yours to keep and your own. And if AT&T is going to allow that, man, what a way to think ahead for Microsoft.
Oh, yeah.
And another thing with the new 360 that's being released, or I mean the new dashboard that's coming out and all the features, if you're a current Time Warner customer and you have tried to watch ESPN 360 as it used to be, or now ESPN3.com, you weren't able to access any of those games that were broadcast for free. And some internet service providers you can, but I know for a fact Time Warner you couldn't. Well, if you have Xbox Live Gold, it doesn't matter if you have Time Warner. You still get ESPN3.
Oh, yeah.
And there's been times where I have paid – when I haven't lived in the area, I've actually paid for the college ticket or the college game day service so that I could watch other football games. And now I'm not going to need to do that. It's part of the Xbox Gold Live. And all of a sudden, you start adding features like this in, that $60 is pretty darn easy to swallow per year.
Oh, yeah.
So if Xbox, like we talked about when we had your friend on, if they keep going forward like this and offering a lot and keep showing that they're trying to innovate, all of a sudden that $10 feels a lot more worth it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you think most people pay. I mean, I pay like $40-some bucks a month for cable. Most people pay like 70 or 80.
Yeah.
You know, and so you put $60 divided by, you know, 12 a year. It's nothing. $10 for Netflix, $5 for Hulu Plus. And, you know, ABC's going to add something to 360. You pay for AT&T UVerse, you get a big discount maybe. I mean, you're talking about saving a lot of money and getting tons of great content, you know. And
it's exciting to see how good Microsoft is positioning themselves to be a media center company. It just goes down to the software that you had talked about. If their hardware can handle all of this and they keep focusing on putting out content that the user are going to be enjoying, man, it's turning into a godsend that I didn't buy the PS3 when I wanted to. I got to write that douchebag that didn't – or Deutschbag. Sorry, douchebag. That Deutschbag in Texas that didn't send us that Xbox, you know, because then it made me get the brand new one. Figure out I'm all set up, ready to go. I no longer have the major urge to get a PS3. I still want one because I want all the consoles now, but I'm totally okay with it. And I think I have reached the point where I think 360 is what I'd recommend over PS3 because of all of the media stuff. Like, my girlfriend loves it. I come home and she's watching like Cheech and Chong, or she's watching like some chick flick because, you know, we have Netflix on it. It's like, man, it's just so sweet. It was totally worth $200.
I love how you just lump Cheech and Chong and chick flicks into the same genre.
She's a she's a good girl. So, yeah, I challenge anyone else to try to pull that off, actually.
So Scott's girlfriend likes Cheech and Chong and chick flicks and plays video games all the time. Is she real?
She does exist.
Okay.
I'll have to correct you there. She does not play video games all the time.
Just most of the time.
Just a good bit. But she gets frustrated when she doesn't win. So she doesn't play Halo with me anymore because I've actually moved from noob status to just average. Now, I still get my butt kicked, but she's still – she likes playing, but she stinks.
So, yeah, gotcha.
So she's done playing that. But you're going to let me borrow Halo 1, and she'll play through the campaign with that with me. And I've played through that campaign before. And I want to do it again because I don't remember all of it. That was really, really good.
I want to play it. You can't borrow it anymore.
we'll leave the bugs on the PS2.
Dang it. All right. So anyways, the final thing I have for the modern thing is Deal of the Week this week. And Deal of the Week is hardware, video game hardware. Remember last week I mentioned that Cowboom.com. It's kind of a Best Buy brand.
Mm-hmm.
Refurbished site, and I don't like Best Buy, but anyways, Cowboom is really sweet. And I want all of our listeners to go to cowboom.com if you're looking for video game hardware, and then at the top you'll see a bunch of categories, and right after networking I want you to click gaming, and they have some incredible deals on 30-day warranty refurbished consoles. I mean, incredible deals. Okay, I'm just going to read a couple of them.
I was going to have you do that.
Nintendo Wii, $123. Wii Fit Plus with balance board, $69. Most of the time on here, it's $30. Nintendo DS Lite handheld, $89. The PS3 Slim, $229. So that's a $70 savings. Whoa. And they're all, and most of them are free shipping. 60 gig hard drive for $360 for $60. That's not a good deal. Splinter Cell Conviction console, which comes with a 250 gig hard drive, two controllers, and Splinter Cell Conviction for $234.
What console is that? PS3?
360.
Oh, 360.
Yeah, that's a pretty good thing. I mean, this have every, you can get Rock Band Beatles Limited Edition, the one that comes with the special Beatles bass guitar, $87. I mean, it's just really good prices. I mean, go there, check it out. If you're looking for a system and it's time to pick one up on there, those are great prices. Plus, you get the Best Buy warranty for 30 days on this stuff. It's refurbished, so might as well give it a shot if you're looking for a console.
Yeah, I think if I do and end up breaking down and getting a PS3, I'll probably just look there. I don't see myself using it enough to really break it.
Yeah, I'm not using mine much right now. I really like PS3. I really do. I mean, I'm probably going to buy Metal Gear Solid Rising for it just because I'm used to playing them on Sony's consoles. But, man, it's like I'm not using it right now. So.
But you know what this is going to end up doing is Sony definitely already has stuff in the works. There's no way they don't. So you're going to see a wave of hopefully greatness out of the PlayStation Network too. Surpass what Xbox is doing, and if you can get that kind of competition amongst one another, hopefully it'll just really get to the point that we were about a year or two ago, where it was like, which one do you buy? There were almost minute differences on which one that you would actually buy, and it'd be nice to see them both pull even again and keep pushing each other as companies, and then we'll just let Nintendo keep coming out with stuff that's fun, that's just going after a different market and making 3D PlayStation 2 quality games and just doing cool stuff like that. So it's exciting to see that video games are going to keep growing. And I really hope that this retro boom that's been happening over the last couple of years, I hope it sticks, because there was so much in gaming that was fun back then, and it wasn't fun because it was new. A lot of those old games were fun because they were fun. And I hope that we continue to get Sonics and new platforming games that are side-scrollers. And if they keep doing that, then, well, I'll be paying less for video games, because that's the genre that I like. And it'll allow even my kids to understand why I liked video games. And it'll also give me a chance, like you're doing with your son, to be able to show them games that they don't need an expansive amount of intellect to play or attention span. Something that they can play for short spurts here and there. You know, we're pretty much an ADD society, so anything I can pick up and play for an hour or a half hour that's just going to look cool and be challenging is something in gaming I hope is always going to be there. And for a while I was nervous that they were just going to completely forget about that kind of stuff. And, you know, and I was always going to be stuck playing just the same old games that I always had. And I know that you yourself get really excited about these retro revamps. And
Oh, yeah. I enjoy them, too. I mean, I grew up playing those games just as much as you did, and I really enjoy them, so it's good stuff.
Yeah, and you took it, you ran with it more than I did. You know, you stuck with gaming. And I
didn't run. I walked fast with it.
And then sweated and took a break and then started walking again.
Yeah.
Well, good deal, man. Do you have anything else for the episode?
I don't think so. Just tell our listeners where they can find us.
Well, obviously, mygnetradio.com, Gamer Network Radio. You can listen to some of our friends. We should give some quick shout-outs. Retro League, Tire Claw Radio, CatCast, Jerry Terrifying, Vinyl Cool Cast, and Gooch and the Douchebag. All people that are very helpful with being nice to us. So everybody, please check them out. They're in the friends section of ClassicLeet.com. You can email us at classicelite@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Classic Elite. On our Podbean page, you'll be able to see a way to get to our Facebook page. And our name is spelled Classic L337. And
I don't know by now, your ass better call somebody. Sorry.
What is that from?
WWF when I was a kid. Just retro flashback. Sorry.
gotcha. That's good stuff. I was an Ultimate Warrior guy, and Hulk Hogan, of course. But yeah, that's how you should get a hold of us. Anybody that listens, please write in with any comments or questions that you have for us. Tony, we need to do a better job of asking questions for people to write in with. But go ahead and surprise us this coming week. That would be awesome. And we haven't forgotten about our contest. We just haven't really had anybody write in on the email side. And we've had a few new Twitter followers. So I don't know if they are following us because they like the show or they've got some friends that follow us, or if, in fact, they are looking for video game stuff. So if you would like to be a part of a free giveaway on Twitter with Classic League, please send us a message either directly if we're following you, or just tweet at us. We'll make sure to follow you. And everyone, thanks a lot for listening. We really appreciate it. We're excited to get back into it in a week from now, getting to episode 24, 25, and so on. And hopefully we'll be able to keep this pace up for a while. I know the Retro League just celebrated their first birthday, so I'm really, really envious of them getting to 52 episodes. So that's definitely going to be a big goal of ours. Thanks again for listening, everybody, and we'll catch you next week.
All right, bye.
Throw a wrench in spokes by